fifth candle, the Christ candle. And in so doing, it represents for us that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into the world for the purpose of shining, of radiating the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very grateful for the people who prepared and explained the Advent wreath and its significance to us and for us, because it really speaks to that idea of anticipation. I was not raised in a Christian home, but we still knew something of the anticipation of Christmas. I'm a little bit older than some people in this room, but some of you still might remember the Sears catalog, the wish book, that catalog that would come full of toys and all kinds of other things, and my sister and I would pore over it and create this wish list, and we would anticipate, and the school system, the school would wind down, and there was always that point where we stopped doing lessons and we started making string art and crafts and snacks, and it was just fun. And then school would stop and we'd go home and we'd spray paint the windows with this white guck, and we'd stare out those windows and excitedly wait for Santa to arrive. Years later, I found myself in a place where Santa no longer existed, and where I started to wonder, what is the meaning and the significance of all of this, of any of this? What is it that we have to wait for? What is it that we anticipate? What are we hoping for? What brings peace into our life? What gives us joy? What fills our hearts with love? Because my world was falling apart. The year was 1985. My parents had separated. In fact, they had finalized their divorce earlier that month. Joy to the world, I don't know. What did we have to sing about? We didn't have Jesus, so in truth, we probably didn't have much. And Christmas came, and there was no money, and it was quiet. My mom had nothing to give as a gift, so she actually gave things that were sentimental to her and that she had held on to for years. Coins that she had collected when she had first come to Canada. I was given a 50-cent piece and a Canadian silver dollar. And 3 days later, we received a phone call from the Canadian Embassy in Manila informing my sister, who was now the legal representative of my father, that he was in fact dead. And into that, I walked into the darkness. I remember just pulling on my boots and walking into the darkness. No particular direction and nowhere to go. I just wandered through the streets of Revelstoke for a little while until I found my way to the home of Reverend Bowden, the pastor of the United Church of Revelstoke, BC. And he wasn't home, despite the fact that they had 8 children and it was Christmas Eve. He wasn't home. Well, it wasn't Christmas Eve, it was a few days later, but he wasn't home. But he came home. I waited for him. I was invited to wait. And he came home, and we went for a walk, and we sat on the bench by the A&W outside in the snow. And I told him that my father had died. And he granted to me the gift of presence. He sat with me. And ignorant as I was of anything spiritual at the time, there was something intuitive, something that somehow, somewhere I believed that he somehow represented the presence of Christ. And in that moment, I knew, I needed God. About a year later, after hearing a powerful message from a preacher in Kelowna, BC, laying in my bed one night, after having wrestled with God for years, believing in him but not wanting to live for him, I came to a place conscious of my sin and asked Jesus to forgive me, to cleanse me from my righteousness, of all my unrighteousness, and to forgive me. And I asked him to love me. And I told God that he'd be the only father I know now. I remember that night saying, God, I'll do this Jesus thing, just don't ever ask me to be a pastor or a missionary. And so my journey began. And in that, I've started to appreciate the great truth of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That he's not just this concept or an idea, but that he is in fact God made flesh, God with me, God in me, the one who gives me life, the one who is transforming my life, the one who fills me with a hope for things yet to come, who grants me a peace which I would not otherwise know, who gives me a joy of things true and pure and eternal, and through whom and by whom I have started and still try to understand the full depths, the height, the width, the breadth of the love of God. And it is a marvel to me and to anyone who actually takes time to think about it, that those concepts can be encapsulated in a human being, no less a baby. And that when we talk about Jesus as the light of the world and the fact that light, the purpose of light, is to illuminate, to reveal, to show us things. We might ask ourselves, then what precisely is it that this Jesus, the light of the world, reveals to us? And as we consider the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John, and yes, Darren and I had to audible at the line of scrimmage. I changed the scripture reading on him in the last moment, and thank you for being good about that. Sorry for that curve. But this is what I really wanted to speak about. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you ask yourself, what is it that Jesus came to reveal? He came to reveal to us the character and the nature of God. That God is eternal. That God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he is everywhere, in everything, over everything, of all that he created, of all that was and is and yet is to come. He is Lord, he is God, he is, in essence, the divine nature. And the power of what we speak about when we speak about the incarnation, that God took on flesh, that God was made man, even for such a brief time as 33 years, that he dwelt among us. And as we discover that this eternal word, this divine word, the sovereign, powerful, majestic word of God took on flesh, that's Jesus. And this establishes his place in the Trinity. That he is in fact the second person of the Trinity, that he is God. The Word is divine in nature and shares the same nature as God. And these first four verses are foundational verses for the doctrine of the Trinity because what it pushes to us and what it shows us and establishes us for us is that Jesus is in fact the same in substance, though different in subsistence. We await, too, then, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. But as this passage unfolds and unfurls its majestic truths, what we learn next is that Jesus, the light of the world, reveals the reality of the human condition. Because the scriptures say, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And don't you wonder, even for a minute, why not? The idea that in him was life and the life was the light of men is a confusing phrase, I think. I looked at it, I was confused. But you know, when you dig deep, you see that the development of Old Testament promises of long life in the land that Israel's promised, those are linked to obeying God. Jewish teachers emphasized that the reward for obeying God's word was eternal life. John declares that this life had always been available through God's word, which is the same word that he identifies in verse 14 with Jesus. And despite the fact that everything and everyone was created by Jesus and for Jesus, his own people did not receive him. They would not receive him. Jesus explains this in John chapter 3 when he's speaking to Nicodemus. He says, the light of the world has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In verse 4, life and light are equivalent expressions for salvation. And for the time being, the preoccupation is with light. The entry of the Logos, the Word, into the world, his incarnation, is described as light shining in the darkness. Even though John the Baptist's testimony was clear, still Jesus experienced rejection. But you know, there's more. The darkness is hostile. There is enmity. The New International Version translates verse 5 that the world cannot understand the word. But there's a second way of understanding that particular Greek word, which is the world would not overcome it. Not just that it didn't understand it, it would not overcome it. It wasn't just a matter of ignorance or lack of understanding or education. It was the fact that the forces, the religious elite, the people who were of the moment and of the world did not want Jesus to be the Messiah. They didn't want the light to shine. They would come against the light. They would try to extinguish the light, but they could not overcome it because that light, the source of that light, is the power of God, and nothing can extinguish that. Nothing. Nothing would overcome it. I think that's a powerful truth, isn't it? That no matter what else happens in the world, and sometimes are we not prone to wringing our hands and, oh no, what if the government does this? And oh no, what if these people do that? Who cares? Let them come. Bring it on. Nothing's going to overcome Jesus. Nothing will ever defeat the darkness. The light's never going out. No, sir. We win, friends. Jesus is coming back. Oh, he will. He is returning. And no forces, cosmic or terrestrial, will ever come against, victoriously against Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, he loves the church and we win. That's the truth. Right there, hey? Hope, peace, joy. This is all embodied in Jesus. Jesus finally reveals the path that leads to eternal life. John says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was not in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own. He came to his own. Jesus came to show us the way. He came to show us the path. Even in John chapter 14, he's talking to the disciples. It's the eve of his death. He's going to be crucified within 24 hours. And he says, you know, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going. And one of the disciples says, no, we don't. How do we know? How do we know where you're going? We have no idea where you're going. We don't understand half of what you say most of the time. How do we know? And Jesus says, you know. You know. I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Follow me. Jesus is that light that shines on that path, and that path that leads to eternal life. Anybody here a camper? Anybody ever gone to the woods? What do y'all need when you go camping? Don't you need a flashlight? The British, they amuse me to no end. We've been watching British TV. You know, they don't have flashlights over there. They have torches. Torches and burn the place down. No, it's a flashlight. I was in a place called Houghton, Saskatchewan once. Darkest place I've ever been in my life. I don't know what it is about Houghton, Saskatchewan, but it's like there is something in that place that sucks up every available photon. I mean, it's dark. And I was brand new and a little cocky, and I told the people I was working with, I don't need a light, until I walked off the end of a platform. And ever since then, I always carried a light. And you know, you shine that light. Like I used, if you don't have the context, I worked on the railroad, and the railroad gives you pretty fun toys, and they give you high powered flashlights. You don't just get this Mickey Mouse flashlight, you get a flashlight. And I'll tell you, even in Houghton, that light from that flashlight, it just cut like a sword. It illuminated. And it didn't glow. Like you didn't get glow to the right or to the left. You just got light. A tunnel of light. But baby, you better stay on that path of light. You better make sure your footsteps follow the light. Because if you don't, you can end up in a very bad place. But if you follow the light, you get to where you want to go. You get to where you need to be. Jesus is that light. He will get you home. He will get you home. If I was to presume upon you, I have a fourth point, but y'all don't need to hear one more point. For those of you who are new or perhaps just first time at Hillview, you can maybe say a prayer for the congregation because on Sunday they're getting a 10-point sermon. I'm gonna wrap it up as 3 points, but really it's 10. I guess in this moment, if I have something to say to all of us, it's embrace the light. Stay in the light. The darkness, nothing good happens there. Nothing good happens there. And if you stay in it, you'll be lost. And if you stay in it too long, you might be lost forever. Find Jesus. Find that light. He came for a very specific purpose, and that was to reveal the glory of God and to show us the way home. Not because he's casually indifferent or because he's lonely or just didn't have anything better to do one particular afternoon, but because he loves you. He loves you deeply. You're created in his image. He sings over you. He adores you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. And sometimes I don't know if we always understand what it is we're being offered when we hear the words, some preacher stands up on December 24th and prattles on, and all you're thinking is he done yet? I've got eggnog to drink. but to know this. And maybe some of you have experienced this. The joy that you feel, just the joy that you feel when your children come home. And we're in that weird space in life where we're waiting for people to come home. Not in a spiritual sense, by the grace of God, but we've got one who's working his way back from Iqaluit. We've got one who's decided he's Lutheran and wanted to go worship in his church. It's okay. But there's some of us whose children are maybe just a little bit more lost than that. There was a young lady who walked through the doors of this church this evening, and I have known her for most of her life. And the joy that I felt when I saw her, and how much she and her family mean to us. And I think what a small picture of how much we mean to the Lord. And if you're out there in the darkness, if you're wandering about, come to Jesus, the light of the world. And he will get you home. He will. And if you are walking with Jesus, stay in the light. Embrace that great truth that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and that we can truly sing, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee."